This program is brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you hear, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. My name's William English. I'm joined for this introduction by Dan Wilson.
Hello.
The recipient of dozens, if not hundreds, of what I grandiosely call prose poems, but might hopefully be some new classification of writing, according to your Dan, you tried to define it as something post AI or something.
Well, yeah, we're following on from last week's show. This is part two. We should add as well.
This is the second program of the year, and starting what might be an ongoing series of these texts.
Yeah, but for having edited the last program, I came to believe that what you're doing is like post-artificial intelligence poetry. What you're doing, essentially, is taking a computer aesthetic, which is algorithmic text, and actually you're doing it biologically. It's something that can only be appreciated after the emergence of artificial intelligence. So you're actually producing a form of poetry that mimics the electronic version of artificial intelligence.
Except I'm not mimicking it. It is basically free word association, which you are converting into. You're making it, giving it a computer voice.
Well, just having it read in a computer voice is what gave me that impression. It's almost like this is an algorithmically generated poem. When actually,
well, that's the impression it gets. That's the impression that comes across, but I'd have to argue with the word mimic, because that suggests that I've been listening to computer poetry and somehow doing my version of it, which is not the case.
Let me bring you back to the 6th of June 2014.
What?
When we did a Wavelength episode at the Science Museum.
Right.
And it featured robot poetry from in my bag here.
Yeah.
Is
the sound of bag unzipping.
Is a book.
Right.
It's called The People's Poet.
The People's Poet by Bill Cooper. Well, I know there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, obviously, you're going to tell me that it's all been done before.
Well, this is just a Stortford.
This is just bizarre, because this was published in Bishop's Stortford.
Yeah.
From where you hail.
Yes.
So I suppose you found this in Bishop's Stortford.
I should say this isn't artificial intelligence poetry. This is standard local poetry.
So this is published by BUP! Exclamation mark.
At 2 Remo House, which I went there actually. It's a flat. It's a small flat near a garage.
So what is the connection between Bill Cooper, the People's Poet, and what I'm doing now?
On the 6th of June 2014, we showcased on Wavelength an experiment where I fed in all of that text in that book, all that poetry from Bill Cooper, into a Markov chain, which is a list of associated text, which then generates predictively versions of Bill Cooper's poetry. So it's like having Bill Cooper's mind, whoever Bill Cooper is,
right,
it's like having his mind on a computer.
Well, he could sue us now for copyright, couldn't he?
I can't find him. I don't think he lives there anymore. He's gone.
As you were saying then, so you fed... How did you feed it in? Did you read out the poems?
No, I had to type it all out.
Good God, the whole book?
Well, yeah, actually, yeah, the whole book, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you typed in that, and then the computer rejigged the poems somehow.
Yeah, you could then request from the computer to generate new poetry.
Right.
And that's what we broadcast. And it was read in a computer voice, very right. similar to what's being read out on this programme now. From your mind.
In that case, then, the Bill Cooper poems were converted into a more scrambled kind of
yes.
computer-generated. But in my case, what I'm doing is I'm literally writing the poems
that's
from
why
scratch.
It's post-AI. It's,
okay.
It's,
yeah. And hopefully, I mean, I think it might be a bit grandiose, but I think what I'm doing sounds almost like prose poetry in a way.
Yeah. I should say that we're recording this in a bookshop where you work.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether exposure to text, and then you work with your partner here, Sandra Cross,
yeah.
who often calls out books, and you have to find the books. So
oh,
you're
yes.
exposed to an onslaught of text and titles, and I'm wondering if this all gets kind of discombobulated in your.
I think we have an inquiry at the counter, which might be coincidental.
Okay. Hi.
Sorry, this is a dumb question, but I just had a copy of the Linda Gall copy of Sadler's Tales in the Window.
Yeah, can you reach it?
No, I'll get it. What is it?
Right.
Which one is it?
I think it's just like down here.
Can you find
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
you sure? Okay, if you can't reach it, I'll get it for you. What was she asking for?
Linda Silage. I didn't hear it. Actually.
Linda Silage?
I
sounds like one of my poems. It can't be called Linda Silage.
It's very difficult now with masks actually to hear what's going on. And this is all feeding in, I think, because this poetry all emerged during lockdown as well. And it's
yeah.
like... Yes,
it's a kind of delirium. I mean, at times I do wonder if perhaps I'm sort of, when I'm writing this stuff, because I'm not editing it.
No.
I don't, I mean, it's literally splurging out in a stream.
I get a bit worried for you sometimes.
Do you, what, because I'm losing my mind, you mean?
Because it's so plausible as artificial intelligence. It certainly feels like it could be generated.
Perhaps I have artificial intelligence. Maybe that's what's happened to me. I've become an artificial...
We did do a test. In artificial intelligence, there's a process known as a generative seed, which is, it sounds a bit biological, but it's like a string of words which can then trigger how the algorithm grows, how the result occurs.
Right.
And out of a test, I fed you some words, and the words were upcycling whoopee, jazz standard.
Yeah.
And
something about yoicks.
Oh, yoicks, the weather jodhpurs reacted accordingly.
Right.
So I said,
how did you arrive at this particular group of words?
Ironically, I was actually editing all your stuff and I just became so... So
we're getting a weird kind of echo.
There's
thing
a feedback going
on.
Because
feedback,
I was choosing random words as you were doing, and always that sounded plausible.
Right.
And it wasn't lifted directly from anything you'd written, but that it felt like of your rhythm style. It's almost like your
right.
your structure.
Yes.
And we can play that.
We could play that one. I mean, I have to say, I almost decided not to do it because. Because by you suggesting phrases, it almost kind of... cramps my style somewhat. It's sort of like a... I then had to try and...
Yeah.
You know, if what I'm doing is free association, it's no longer free association
no.
if you're trying to load up phrases for me to respond to.
Although it's partially a test to see whether you had fully adopted the post-AI... kind of modus,
how would you
modus
prove
operandi.
That? How would you prove that I was post AI?
Well, how willingly you'd be wishing to take this generative nudge, and run with it?
Yeah. With algorithms, then there's a kind of reverberation of the work. I mean, you'd have to feed one of my spoken, composed poems, which are unedited, back into the computer and see if it kind of created. More associations or something. I mean, are you suggesting that my mind is somehow connected to the internet?
That would be post AI then, because I'd be then feeding your post AI poetry, which is purely
right.
As
I'm looking out the window, I can see a DPD van has arrived, and this is delivering a number gun. I hope
a pricing gun.
A pricing gun.
No.
Here he is. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. So, thank you. Are you Nicely? Are you called Nicely?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was in the morning, you called me, I said, I'm just come back.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right, thank you, thanks. So that's a number gun for the shop that's being delivered, which is quite bizarre.
When you asked him, are you Nicely?
Yeah.
Was that his name?
Well, so it says in the text, it says, Nicely will deliver your number gun.
I have to say, this sounds like one of your poems.
Well, I know, exactly. Well, this is, obviously the poems are created by sort of input. I mean, these are words I know, and I string together. I suppose I don't edit it retrospectively, but if there's an obvious string of words, then I will chop that off, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't want it to make sense. If there's a sentence...
You find something too intelligible is a bit off-putting.
And also it doesn't rhyme. There is no rhyming whatsoever in it.
Well, let's listen now to the first one, which is the one you did grudgingly from the My Nudge of text.
So we're going to do the generative test of AI upcycling Whoopi, a jazz standard.
Upcycling Whoopi, a jazz standard. Cyclones considered shriveled gloves, amputated behind decadent Zeppelin Hindenburg. Voluminous amounts of crystal amethyst fridge magnets colluded in the instant demise of gerrymandered octopi. Chronic IC, which translates as IC or UC, as in UC UC. In other words, or should I say in other letters, the Midland Red bus to Uppingham was broken in two by the time it reached Great Missenden, but nothing would stop the quorn hunt from gathering with hundreds of ravenous greyhounds to the shout of yoink. Weathered jodhpurs react accordingly, and tally high, as dispersed in South Pacific to the bellowing of ukuleles and grass gumboils. The fluted windows perceive through their strained glass ledges the distant apparition of Kenny Ball and his jasmine smoking marijuana nonchalantly whilst performing midnight in Moscow to a disinterested apparatchik from the Bavarian embassy in Chinatown, consuming chicken chow mein with straw dogs and parallel wicker hampers overflowing with the remnants of a derelict food bank in Wisbeach. Carry on down the Yangtze shrieked the two enormous Bibles which could have served as stools, but the architect headed west on a monorail, his feces leaving a trail of damage. Indiscriminate barbiturates were absolutely flown in, from Nyasaland. Toothpaste occurred. Giddy lows. Plank vertebra jostled through the gloaming, and ambidextrous porpoises proposed marriage to Frank who denied bigamy. Fricassee of roadkill heart warmed by a deciduous shrew. Delicious. Pummeled Corsicans strangled each other whilst clipping toenails. Have at you, varlet. The Big Country with Gregory Peck.
You did have once on your show a poet who would take requests, or thematic requests,
yeah.
Who used a typewriter.
He was a typewriter poet who sat on the South Bank. I haven't seen him, obviously, for 2 years. In fact, there were two of them. They alternated. And what they would do is you'd pay them £5 to compose a poem on the spot. You could suggest the theme.
Actually almost like post-AI, actually. That was
and then he came on the programme. He came on Wavelength, and he composed the poem on air, which may or may not have had something to do with Bob Parks. I cannot now remember. Anyway, that last poem was Upcycling Whoopi, a jazz standard, provoked. Suggested by Dan Wilson as a way of sort of nudging me in a particular direction.
It was a test, an experiment. To see whether how solidly you'd adhere to like an artificial intelligence behaviour, whether I could steer your poetry with a suggestion.
Well, it would certainly have steered it. It certainly would have nudged it in a different direction, because the word yoicks, as you suggested, put me in mind of what do they say on the hunt?
Oh, tally ho, the hunt.
Tally ho, but they say there's a word like yoicks, which they also say, which I can't think of. Sandra, can you think of, what do they say at the hunt? Like yoicks.
Tally ho.
This put me in mind of a hunt, you see. You saying yoicks like that made me think of the hunt, which I associate with Leicestershire, where you've got two or three hunts, Cottesloe and the Quorn Hunt, And that
pip pip.
Pip pip. No, that's not nothing to do with Yorks. And so that was. So it made me think of the hunt at Christmas because they usually gather on Boxing Day.
Well, this tallies up
in Oakham.
This tallies up with
tallies with tally ho, and so on. So that's the way it works. It's just pre association, but without it being a logical progression. Forming sentences, it's literally just so I'm almost chopping it up mentally in my mind, which is possibly not a healthy thing to do. I mean, I suppose if I started talking like that, you'd be a bit worrying.
Well, so we could. The reason I suggest it's post AI is that just by prefixing it with post, you get to reappreciate the processes involved,
right.
I just find it enjoyable to put post in front of things. Post-electronics.
Well, yours post-electronics, aren't you? Yes, okay.
Anyway, so over time, your emails have been gradually more poetic. So in this show, I was hoping to show how they'd gradually, not disintegrated, that suggests a decline, but they'd gradually become poetry from usually quite formal...
I should add, in strictly speaking, I'm actually trying to resist the idea of it being poetry at all. Because as soon as you do that, once you start to write poetry with a capital P, you're into sort of... You're looking for the poetic, which in itself can be self-defeating, I think.
OK. Well, this one here is actually a composite of phrases... And this is something people can do at home too. You think of your parents and you make a kind of almost like a crib sheet of phrases that characterise, in this instance, your dad, who was known to say things such as "blast you," "I'm ready for the box," what was the other ones? Give me some paraquat.
Crippin. Tomfoolery. He had a whole...
Could have been first-class cricketers.
He had a whole catalogue.
This is almost like an AI Markov chain that you've made here.
Right.
And this can actually be seen in your book, Perfect Binding. There's quite a striking page, which is actually like an art, like a Warhol almost, showing your dad, but with all these stock phrases that he was known to say, overlaid. Which is almost... That does feel like AI... But you've managed to, by making this list of phrases, that you've actually absorbed some of them. And in this one here, which you just addressed to me, this poem here, you just called Dan. And it's one of the early ones, which is not really... Before I really appreciated it as poetry.
Right.
Shall I play that?
Yeah. This one's called Dan, then.
God Almighty. Last paraquat. Old. Get. Don't. Dan. Blithering idiot paraquat. Get. Old. Don't. Dan. Blow your Gemini off with a shotgun. Tomfoolery, Dan. Don't get old, Dan. Could have been first-class cricketers. For Pete's sake, don't get old, Dan. God Almighty, it's like Dante's Inferno in here. God Almighty, this ulcer is killing me. Don't get old, Dan. Know who made this tea. It's like the proverbial... Don't get old, Dan, blast you. No. For two pins I'd rather have a boat on the Norfolk Broads by Jiminy Cricket spasm of wealth ulcer. Don't get old, Dan. As rich as Croesus. Of course, she has no head for business. Move away from the fire, blast you. No.
Yes, it was good to hear that, actually. I had forgotten that one. In that case, I mean, the repetition works quite well there.
And it was slightly shredded as well, so don't get old then became old.
Yeah, exactly. Which is created how? By punctuation? New line? Does the computer...
I can't remember.
Does the computer create a pause because it's a new line?
Not really. It's usually a full stop indicates the pause.
Right.
So
how would it interpret capital letters?
It doesn't really.
Oh, it doesn't make any difference? Because in one of the poems recently... I had lots of capital letters where it's a crack.
Unfortunately, I haven't yet found any bots that can read and interpret shouting. Although I have found a nice northern accent bot. So I have there's many different accents to choose from, but it's limited in its form of interpretation.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite interesting. It has already led me in another direction, because in some future programme, listening to the computer voices, which you've got male and female, it put me in mind of Hugh and Sue, who died within 3 months of each other last year.
This and would be Hugh de la Cruz.
Hugh de la Cruz is the inventor of perpetual motion, or would-be inventor.
Or enthusiast of perpetual motion.
Who actually was my very, very, very first wavelength guest, probably 15 years ago, when he wanted to come on under a pseudonym. Alan Bridges, he called himself, because he didn't want to have his own name on air. So he called himself Alan Bridges, and that was the very first wavelength that I ever did. But Hugh died last year, and then his partner, Sue, died 3 months or even just six weeks later or something. And so I thought I'd compose a dialogue between the two of them, an imagined dialogue, with them being on the other side, as it were. It's like Orpheus and the Underworld. Ooh, it's like they've gone into the underworld. And can they speak to each other?
It's like you're channeling them.
Exactly. I should be channeling a would-be conversation between them. Because, of course, Hugh would never have known that she died after him.
It's weird, because I've just been reading some rare spiritualist books from the 1930s, Seeing Through Another's Eyes, Tom's Messages, Letters from Martha. And it's amazing how these channeled automatic writing texts look like Facebook chats now. They look like instant messages on Instagram. It looks like a chat between, "Are you there, Sam?"
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's quite bizarre seeing how it's almost like they were channeling an archetype that wasn't yet formed.
Right.
And we've come to realise this in internet chat. But anyways, Hugh is referenced already quite often in some of your poems.
Yeah.
I can't remember which ones, but Hugh does crop up as a figure sometimes.
Yes.
So this is something we can expect then, this dialogue, epic dialogue.
That will be forthcoming.
I suppose now the quest is on to find voices that resemble...
Well, you've already got a Hugh voice, haven't you?
There's actually one called Hugh, but it sounds nothing like Hugh.
No.
I think it's one of Google's own voices.
Right. Do you have a Sue?
There is a Sue, yeah.
Oh, well, there we are.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are the titles. Shall I rattle through the titles then?
Well,
so
this next one is actually called This Is Not a Poem, but I suppose it could be. And this is the first time when you actually reappreciated emails. As possible poems.
Right.
I could play that now if you want.
All right.
I've made a few slight alterations to the Beach film. Let me know if, or when, you might be inclined to have a go at that. I like the existing ambient sounds of sea and wind, etc. Even the wind on the mic is all right in a concrete way. Should I put you in touch with the editor? The deadline for the London Film Festival is June 17th, but of course it won't get in, but it's good to have a deadline. Bookshop opens next Monday, 4 hours a day, bit apprehensive dealing with customers again and all that. Hand gel, masks, 6 people in the shop at a time, etc. I noticed that the British Library doesn't open until the 21st of April and you have to book a slot, so good luck with that. Could meet up maybe outside the library, but even that might be busy. Speak soon. Arthur Negus.
So that wasn't really a poem, though.
That wasn't a poem, no, that was an email
to
you.
The thing is, the title said this isn't a poem, but it could be.
Right.
So,
well, it should be said that 90% of these poems, or so-called poems, whatever we're going to call them, I don't know what, we might have to invent a new category.
We've already have a name, actually, Unpoem.
Unpoem. They wouldn't exist unless I was sending them to you by email. So, in effect, they're like sort of...
Nobody else would get them.
Well, I used to send a lot of texts to somebody else, and I think I remember after a while he sort of said, do you realise you've sent me 600 texts? So I just shrugged. I thought, well, so what? OK, that's fair enough. They tended to be quite gibberish-like, but they would be very brief. I mean, they were like one-liners.
Yeah.
As opposed to this,
usually
kind of
just cough. That was one of your frequent cough. You'd actually verbalise a cough, or not verbalise. You'd articulate cough as an actual interjection in a chat.
Yeah.
This next one is almost a poem.
Right.
Did you get to the British Library? How was it? Did you get in? This isn't a poem.
So that one actually said in the email,
it's not a poem. Exactly.
But it was formatted like a poem. It was in lines. And,
Right.
So anyway.
All right.
Let's now get into the...
Yes.
This one is an example of the different voices that are possible.
Okay, so this one is called An Appeal, Dismembered Goat Association, in brackets.
Dismembered Goat Association. Registered charity number ZZ123456, Kiev. Dear Mr. Wislon, we thank you profusely for your generous contribution to our charity. The £500 will benefit at least one secretary in our worthy organization who badly needs a holiday next to the Black Sea. Thank you. We will send you more gruesome photographs of goats maimed by munitions, which we feel sure will tap into your conscience like a barbed hook. Surely, you cannot allow this kind of monstrous cruelty to continue. Surely, ask yourself, and then ask yourself again, then ask someone else. How can you sleep knowing that innocent goats are suffering in silence on the plains of Silesia and back streets of Peterborough, smuggled in by disreputable goat dealers? Send another £500 immediately or pay the price. We know where you live. With consequences, Zachary Richman, Managing Director and Head Goat Herd.
For my next poem, I should stop calling them poems.
That's the problem. Poems.
I'll have to call them unpoems or something. But even that relates to poetry in some peculiar way, doesn't it? Until we come up with another definition, we'll just call them unpoems.
Then. Salad?
Well, word salad, maybe. Yes. Yeah, or word blend.
Oh, yeah.
Word blend. It's like putting words into a blender and sort of mixing them up. But even that doesn't explain the forward. With a blender, that would be like... that would be a bit like cut-ups, wouldn't it? Like what Burroughs was doing with cut-ups, chopping things up.
Maybe listeners could write in with a suggested title.
Well, appropriately, the next poem is called Piffle.
Brimful of token sweatbands. 9,000 ornithologists could not be mistaken in their preconceived but ill-considered demise, a slap in the face of disordered carcasses. Out of bounds to dismal blueberries, christened Hugh in a fashion. Bribery cut no ice, nor melted rubber in the shape of a bison. Buffalo garnered thatched roofs over a desultory timetable of hand-washed scruples. £500 changed hands more slowly than could be imagined in an environment attuned to rapidity. Brinkmanship caused acrimony. Foolish reluctance promulgated double helpings of stuffed rodents on a platter of phalanx. Cruelty. Dribbling infamy let loose in a laundrette. Paddle steamers, juice bars, dreaded ivy climbers, stud farm owners, humble bumblebee sting merchants, the queen of barbizon, hack-framed Gordon walkers, fancy jewel tenders, station masters whose only ineptitude delivered momentary relief from mud schedules, hoopla winders, osteopaths without portfolio, whole shebangs, critics, splurge vendors, cricket bats, roaming foxes without tails, tickets for the Lion King discounted to avoid demand, and yet, grind, grind, little hornet. How would you like to be paid?
Well, that was Piffle. Coming up next, we have No Poem Again, followed by Unpoem.
There is no poem today. No poem. Nothing poetic, not even bad poetry. No, there is no poem today. No, none. Not a poem. Not today at all, no. Could there have been a poem? If the weather was different. Could there have been a poem then? Is this a poem? No, it is not. There could never be a poem on the 21st of June. Never. Will there ever be another poem? The true poet would ask this question. Or perhaps not. The true poet might choose to never write another poem. But why? Why not write another poem? Poetry costs nothing, but poems take time. Not writing a poem is more difficult for a poet. Because, what would a poet do, if not write a poem? The poet might choose instead to feed chickens, throwing seeds into a hen coop through the wire mesh to the waiting fowl. This would be a distraction.
Shattered chandelier. Spite. Brenda.
Mascara. Blind Victor.
Axolotl.
Crumbs of Delaware.
Julius Caesar.
Sleeveless dressing gown. Exceptional vapor trail.
Returning from Yeovil, Digby opened the side window to spit chewing gum at a magpie. Deodorant would go amiss, but neither Digby nor the magpie would get that close. Pile drivers emptied grease into a stagnant pond. The bluebell swayed in a yellowing breeze. Why? Now. Vaulting freely over the electric fence, Dan Wilson, the antique dealer without portfolio, donned body armor. The sniper in the mist cowered behind a mustard plant. Stretching his catapult, Dan targeted. The missile struck the sniper squarely in the face. The faceless assassin fell backwards into a pith helmet. Pitiless lobster, hooligan of Argos. Prize winning. Another. Nay.
There is no rhyme or... I mean, the titles aren't always... Yeah. Sometimes the titles are the first two words of the un-poem, or sometimes I've plucked a couple of words out of the poem and called it that afterwards. So this one is called Veteran Ape.
Curling party of withered oranges. Decide not to paraphrase ingrates. In perpetuity, the grinding eternal juxtaposition of arcane juggling despises anything unwarranted. The actual ack flack attack activates acne indisposed nappies. Granted, my belief system energized by corncrakes combines to distribute ordinary croc watchers, but the whole is darkly vague. Crucified black charred skeleton in the bath, witnessed by the Albanian became washing up when revisited. Captains having been chosen for five aside. The corpse must surely have been reported below stairs. Dread welled up through sieves replaced one June in anticipation of the grand piano. Worcester sauce. Apparition of grandfather clock, bespoke crocodile shoes, the alligator weeps chiseled tears to the dismay of Punch and Judy, those whispering scandal mongers in striped pajamas. Wintergreen. Asphyxiate my nylon, Griselda. Wish list spray cologne towards brill creamed vorticists. Winding spiraled curlicues out of winsome whittle jet parachutes. Barracudas cheered. Veteran ape. Brutal in firefly, Asperger's syndrome. Wheelchair. Cotton buds. Thrift shop altercation by diamond studded zookeepers whose sole motivation was intended as a warning via cone capped biscuits. Zigzag needlessly through the greenhouse and descend rapidly. Weep for the dew. That which corrupts vaults over the decomposed attitude, fox-like vermin eschewed by Dusseldorf and its environs. Peter Smith. Archetypal sugar. Blaspheme in polythene. Peter Smith. Peter Smith. Peter Smith. Peter Smith. Hans Tistel.
So now this next poem is called Peter Smith Bamboozled, and it's worth... Peter Smith has become almost a logo. I mean, it's almost a recurring motif
Peter Smith is a regular customer.
Well, I was going to come to that, but I was going to say, first of all, that the words Peter Smith recur several times for some reason.
Yeah.
That's become a bit of a fixation. He was basically a part-time store detective in the bookshop where I work. He sort of was here for great lengths of time, just hanging around in the shop. Now, I would introduce him as the store detective.
Yeah, because he had a great memory.
He had a great memory.
Yeah.
He had a rather devious way of hiding books in the shop. In other words, he'd hang around in the shop and make a little bundle of books, say, for £1 or £2. And then because he was worried that somebody else might buy them when he wasn't in the shop, he would sort of secrete them somewhere.
Why didn't he just buy them?
He could have reserved them.
Oh, yeah.
He could easily reserve them, and I would have reserved them.
Well, maybe
but
it was
instead
a test.
Of which, he chose to hide them in the shop. And then I would come across this little bundle of books somewhere in the shop and think, oh, yes, so these must be Peter Smith's secretions.
Like a squirrel.
Like a squirrel, yeah.
Bamboozled by breakfast, Acme vagrants attended boarding school. Plethora of dyed rabbits adjudicated malaria, soggy christening mugs exuded highness, majestic in trollop, vehement by standpipe, cruise no more on blind effervescence, crapola jodhpurs, absolution drags blankets of tweed, tartan and herringbone knitted blancmange. Whooping cough again by temperature mercury dried raisins, the flogged aperture scrambled egg deserter pardon nothing. Choose the path of whiskey without pertaining to no account hog buckets, never to shine no more, particularly weathered handle of greased copper. Peter Smith. Peculiar jumble invades the pitch before drawing a dead heat in the blue sand, that decrepit slumber fooled into armored chloroform. Bludgeon marmalade strewn over the path of righteousness. Chronic diabetes. Black shattered overdrive hastens bilberry vongol, the flattened voles pronounce my name in different Swahili, Belgian, creme brulee, acid fat, marzipan soldiers melting in the shadow of flytraps. Can Sergeant Major Hobsbawm unravel in time to eject from battle? Delicious hobgoblin asks neighbor for the loan of a compass. Guiding lights confound airspace, confined to aerials which shelter unsuspecting earwigs, those dissatisfied customers over and above the plimsoll line. Sinking fast, crew members ate rhubarb in last Dutch attempt to forswear the sandals. Evidence pointed to dissolving chimneys, only to violate wind tunnels, not confused with deliberate and valued flatulence. Fountain splurged angry nests designed to protect hounds of misfortune. Droll as in juvenile neck halter, groaning with essence of turpentine, linseed foals, charred ingrates, barren antelopes, gazelle dripping intestinal flat battery, grievous bodily harm, manslaughter, hacked to death with rusty pork pies, angelic undercarriage, sluiced through with Brighton rock, vantage point of drizzle. Speak to me only with dry vines and asinine tow factories, call blimey govets a fair cop Inuit but all the pole before climbing, fluffy feathers malt vinegar. But wait. Jamboree of thwarted congregation extol secrecy while bribery shuffles its mortal fool, cabbage. Mumps added crossword clue 13 down, the Empress Dredger, third in line to the anvil struck in the polar plexus until breath sucked out black bin soap. Whistle badly at a hen party. Hake jelly bake with polyphilla soup. Crushed nuts in May, unfolding in time towards hitherto reverse daytime television. Whooping cough Peter Smith Ron Heisler. Volcanic passengers petrified as cold coke pumice stones, moustachioed, emulsion of mustard, pickled inebriate justified in mortifying eavesdroppers with stilted daddy long legs, fruit flies, hold fast the tiller Captain Ahab, valued harbinger of goose fat, scribbler of false gossip, innuendo without portfolio starboard. Humility overcame humidity. Wiping clean the doll's house proved weapons. Irish cummerbunds boxed Clever in a panoply of umbrella paste. How to dither. Ancillary art books with torn pages stolen in plain sight, but nowhere could snowdrops be found, at least not before the cock crows thrice, said Archie Andrews. Humor knee. Scraped shanty town fumigated by cricket pads, dents. Amble dud cropped copier, strapped for cash, inscrutable as flagrant dormitories in flames. He whoso ever believeth in me, salted sardines. Gene Autry. Roy Rogers. Black Horse. Billy the Kid. The Cisco Kid. Mexican Pete. Peter Smith. Store Detective.
Okay, so that was Peter Smith Bamboozled. Really awful poem.
Corporeal entity, volunteered absenteeism, promoting cataclysmic bran envelopes. The diarrhea of canticles overflowing into exasperated district officers, whose nostalgia for overweening apology overwhelmed even Handel's water music. Blackguards jostled with wild geese to reconstruct a knife edge. The wit of Netherlandish gargoyles submitted the very same dowager termites to nowhere. Again. Parsimonious reptiles cheered the home team, wearing checkered scarves around their ankles. Valedictory horse chestnuts served hot and poisonous with acrid rubber sauce, crumpled and torn newspaper molded into the shape of extinct volcanoes. How to digest this vile concoction? With a blindfold and a peg on the nose, folded blind, nosegay thrown secretly outside of the running order. Denied his usual Christmas present of foie gras, Superintendent Lockhart from no hiding place arrested Fancy Smith from Zed Cars, whose reappearance revealed a sense of damaged Lesney Matchbox agricultural implements. For example, a combine harvester with metal tires. Wisdom, practicality supersedes family values, squared.
Next up is Behemoth.
Nay, gainsay belligerence, my humble servant. Ladder down, with ignominy, behest towards vile effluence known only brighter than Sunday. Grebes infiltrate the down-covered fields of Albania, memories of torture feed slight hamburgers. Friend to the stars, cough, my drifting sloop careers silently over the falls to be dashed on pineapple rocks. Infidelity strives backwards in suspended momentum, whither the apple crumble made in a fit of pique. Shambolic bridesmaids gather to hurl aluminium confetti. The shards lacerate the groom, who stumbles, ripping his waistcoat and revealing a tattoo of Hermann Goering. Belief in doctors' dragged helmets. Birmingham small arms. Aerial leader. Vincent Black Shadow. Bruff Superior. Hughes abandoned Bristol. Gathers moss in a Suffolk meadow. Harbingers of dandruff.
Okay, so that was Behemoth. This next one is called Epiphany of Eels.
Apoplectic with joyous dread, open shore, gilded bat freak, kilts of framed linen. The desultory goldfish parted company with its father's birthday conceived as a prize for diving the butterfly into a saucer of milk. Ah 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 ah. Chew. Ah 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 ah. Tissue. Vaccinate. Vaccinate. Said the Dalek in hushed overtones, breathing fire and dressed in ermine fox droppings. Bile included as extra vermin. Bah, 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 bah. The lamb bleated whilst floating in black cereal. prune juice and overflowing doctor's prescriptions for backache. Can I get reparation for deliverance? Cryark. Box. Hoosh. Bar. Cryark. Peter Smith. Ox blood hemoglobin transfusion misleading the general pubic. Croc. Block no screw hammer. Amber. Jukebox play ice waltz to a tune by Victor Sylvester. Dance to a different cryark. Blabber monkeys delight in fresh albatross steak. Dither and prance to a bagpipe melody strangled by moonlight in double jeopardy. Bar 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 bar. Triple heart bypass in readiness for the trek upstairs, jeweled basket case drawn in mud. The emblazoned muffler engulfed the poor cuppina's head. Ung huff grayar spelt boo hashtag dra. Bar crack gung shtick thwar ungro hawk jab strawberry, deal me in. Scraped knife crowark. The Zulu leopard woman emerged carrying an assegai draped in several animal skins and cooked porridge for wildebeests. Who has been eating my porridge? Exclaimed Nabakchudnez as factotum to an audience of telltale bandersnatches who consumed television guides for 1956, spewing forth no hiding place towards the plankton, who felt no shame. Paraplegic enzyme of victory roll grommet and splintered iodine in a frenzy of dictatorial gimcrack. Macy's department store, transposed to Peterborough shrouded in fog. The partridge felt foolish and blushed, feathers fell, alcoholics scorned scouring pads, and grew wings. Bleak vista. Toad of ceramic double-glazed smoothing iron. The two gargantuan moles vexed by false death certificates which stated they would have been 100 this year had they survived the tidal wave. Grant me one wish, store detective Peter Smith. B.U.H. Buzz non gratis. Clock. Failure.
Unpoem 46.
Did you really do 46 of these, or is that...?
No, I think that was a random number.
To give the impression of an unpoem.
It's like some books. Some books were falsely claimed to be fifth editions to give the impression the impression that they had sold thousands of them, and in fact, that wasn't the case.
Clowned House Martins, interrogated by bald Cherokees. The vastness invited deliberation. Cruel destitution imbibed bladders. Commodore fanfare grew warts. Usually, Boondock would have arrived punctually, but on this occasion the crack of dawn bled straightened arrows. Hermione.
Gristle my fountain pen.
Hollow.
Corkscrewed moths, dropped, spinning.
Goon Factory.
How to detain equilibrium.
Squandered by Dandruff. Surely instability ruins excess in wheelbarrows when weather permits. Punctuation cramps style.
Take instruction.
Whinnied Polegate, whilst preparing an alternative breakfast of piped soda. Virtuous filth in a procession, towing boxes of corgi toys, a Zephyr police car, estate, white with blue lettering, in a box, at the end of the bed, Christmas Eve 1962. Ecuri Ikos horse box that steered by pressing down slightly at the front corner. Where are they now? A carpeted drum roll summoned illustrated wooden bricks depicting Kirby Muxlow Castle. Vainglorious behemoth, who skewered the bread bin. Night falls and fell.
And now for Unpoem 93, followed by Unpoem 145.
Parents arrived separately in Giggleswick Harbour. Some wore pantaloons, but most were dressed somberly.
Drank my febrile harmony.
Moaned effervescent impresario Nebuchadnezzar, a broadsword in an eye to his estranged godson Cecil Vacuum.
Brandish nothing, and stand upright.
Belching loudly, the lugworm wrapped itself around Kevin's shoe.
crimson bow ties were left on the small table by the door where a pale green telephone was off the hook. A feverish conversation could be heard emanating from the wall. The drift silenced the party. Broadsword motioned to the large wooden radiogram. Telefunken. A 78 RPM record, repaired with parcel tape, revolved under a knitting needle, creating distant thunder. Outside, refuse collectors grappled with a sack full of discarded woks. Shards of broken glass stuck through the sack, slicing into their exposed limbs. Dan joined the queue outside the library, which now stretched to Drummond Street. A 1947 Foden horse box turned left abruptly, causing ponies to fall out onto the road.
"Don't forget to bury your grievances with Ina Sharples,"
declared Cecil. The Sopwith Camel landed at Staunton Aerodrome. White chocolate.
Parking Bay Vexation. Fly off the handle by demonizing extracurricular shoelaces. Remaining unmoved by events, Ian chose deep frozen cicadas to demonstrate the ecology within drip dry towels. His overarching reliance on cough pastilles, presumed indigestible, created an atmosphere of monstrous intolerance.
"Whimsy,"
said Gretchen.
"Clutch straws,"
volunteered Blockhead.
"Diagrams would help,"
maimed Hooligan.
"Only by parachute,"
greased Crick. "Pay back the cheese. Institute of foul play." The dead ball swung earnestly, orbiting the new flag which flapped doggedly between two poles. Could it have been otherwise? The flag could have swung lamely. The poles might have been further apart, but nothing essential would have changed. Or would it? Blithely obscured by a rash of ramshackle hutches, unoccupied and unleavened, Jill voted to leave the canyon behind and chinstrap the evergreens. Diapers, sometimes laughingly called nappies on the Isle of Man, washed up thoroughly, but Doug, not usually acknowledged as any kind of expert when it came to sweat, threw in his halfpence worth on the side of Attila. "Grebe, grebe, great crested grebe." Eden Kane.
So that was Unpoem 145. And this next one is called A Really Bad Poem Written on a Train So Quite Shaky. And of course, it should be Really Bad Unpoem Written on a Train So Quite Shaky.
Grunewald, excited by fireflies, exonerated his own witness by £500. Shopping cardboard cress crippled by concretion, the £500 accumulated dust in a basement, feathered with trounced mint chocolates. £500, demanded by satellite in thunderous navigation. The Leicester Mercury. £500. Frolic in brown aspic, drool for grimy shin pads, shoveled over horrible ink wells, by dribbling brooks of stagnant leucozade. The arrested lightning conductor breathed deeply, sighing chronically through beefsteak gauze, fermented by Yuletide glass. £500.
Who goes there?
Shattered polecat in dry dock, Orwell's sable dumpling gossamer bubble bath, £500. Clambered wall hangings. Cryptocurrency deciphered endless box cutter, seated £500. Hobgoblin dross. Centipede speaking in tongues, Jerusalem artichoke basted in diesel oil. Cramped living quarters. £500 overgrown but demanding ox blood brogues tied with albatross gut. Few triangles shone a sortie heaped on forgotten haystacks.
And now, Poem for Universal Credit, Tax-Free National Insurance Gimlet. Or should that be Gimlet? Gimlet.
To whom it may concern. I await, grabbingly, perchance to dread my beguiled knapsack. Grown tomatoes grown, doctored by vassals in perpetuity, the faltering headbutt, spasmodic in its inebriation. Glass-eyed bureaucrat skewered and basted in olive oil beside a Germanic incinerator. Brackish water denies insipid vats of squirrel juice, blackened through ignorance, the vapid squalor of humor, dried by haddock. Scotch my diesel. Bark and scratch. Decide whose Art Nouveau trellis negotiates fat flatfish, fitter than flotsam, flitting and floating phlegmatically in transit. Do I hear me? Groups of unwitting diamond adjusters nestle in crew neck bulbous tulips, though who would notice remained mysterious. Marcus Campbell headed notepaper. Voluminous powder puffs screech into view, but glide their cerebral deceit. Winsome.
This next one was not composed on an iPhone, so the pentameter might be disrupted by forces beyond my control. I should say, most of these are done on my iPhone, which actually is quite a small phone. It's called an SE, Special Edition iPhone, which was modelled or copied of the iPhone 4 because it was quite small. So it's interesting to think, you know, I'm typing a lot of them out, literally, on quite a small keyboard.
Oh, with protective text on.
But I've cancelled that. I've stopped that. Okay. Yeah. And in fact, on one of them, on the iPhone 4, I've even cancelled out the spell checker.
New words to find.
I see that the word comes up and the I leave it like that, or it associates with another word. On the computer at home, that's still got the spell check, which I try and override, you know.
Okay. This is interesting because it means that if you did turn on algorithmic text, it would be learning from all these poems, and actually the predictive text would actually be related to what you're writing. It might even help you in your poetry, actually, if you did.
I don't want help.
No.
I certainly don't want help from a computer.
Okay.
No.
Fortitude notwithstanding, balefulness. Woof. Woof. Barack Obama, Osama bin Laden. Cruise ship beyond doggerel, blind infamy, daggers drawn. Dutiful grapefruit scintillating wolf. Incorrigible systematic overdue payment credited easily with hypothermia wolf. Tourette's syndrome hanging gardens of blueprint for a wasteland diagnosed with Roskash envelope, smudged, blotted and bolted to an ancient door, timber mildewed. Hiya. Wotha. Water lilies engrossed in negligence, perforce to wilt. The succulent, engulfed a butterfly whilst singing the theme song to Thunderbirds.
Crisps.
Bedlam is a many-headed sword, grievous in frost. Grime becomes you. Sidled cheerful grok. Vulcanized rubber plants imbibe dubious seasonal fruit, the like of which deceived even Vronsky's parrot, the harlot. Vehemently scrawled papyrus revealed the monk's velvet slipper. Mud. Dan woke from slumber, deciduous but perennial, amber grapes. Blood-red turpentine swirled in vases fogged by the flight. Mambo Italiano murmured in the background to the tune of Naismith the Stonemason, his 45 children lined up as a firing squad. Cannonade in dire broom cupboard. Accrington Stanley.
Okay, you've been listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. This is Wavelength, engineered and all technical assistance by Dan Wilson. Thank you very much, Dan, for helping me to generate this gibberish.
It's been an interesting journey.
Good. Well, it's not over yet, is it? By any means, a long way to go yet.
Yeah.
Hopefully, unless of course you're weary of the whole task.
Let's see. There could be two or three episodes or more of poems going from your oeuvre.
Oeuvre.
Sorry.
Okay. All right.
It's all oeuvre. Sorry.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you heard, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.